Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our quarterly call. We are very delighted to report about a strong first quarter 2020. I'd like to hand over to the CFO of our company, Volker Mitz.
Thank you. Also, warm welcome from my side. Yesterday, we published the quarterly report for the first quarter, and today's agenda is as follows. We start with the highlights of the first quarter of 2020, and the market overview. The main part will be on the financial performance. Finally, I will conclude with a summary and outlook on ProCook's operations, but also with comment on the impact of the corona pandemic on our business. On page five, we have the highlights of the first quarter of 2020. We had a good start into 2020 with strong demand for our products. This was the case for almost all 3 months. This led to continuing growth of our sales volume. At the same time, the normalization of price levels and profitability also continued as anticipated. Despite slightly lower order intake towards the last days of March, we continued with our organic volume growth. The growth rate in our corrugated board operations amounted to almost 15% compared to the same quarter last year. In our container board operations, we achieved the volume growth of 7.4% in the first quarter. As expected, the price normalization had again an impact on our sales. The increasing sales volume in corrugated board could only partly offset the declining prices over the last 12 months. As a consequence, sales decreased by 5.1% compared to the first quarter of 2019. The sales amounted to 233 million euro in the first quarter of 2020. Compared to the fourth quarter of 2019, the sales price reductions were more than compensated by lower recycled paper prices. That means our gross margin increased in the first quarter compared to the fourth quarter of 2019. We achieved an EBITDA of approximately 58 million euro in the first quarter of 2020. This is 40.1% below the prior year's first quarter result, but on a similar level as the fourth quarter EBITDA. The EBITDA margin was again very good, 24.8%. This is again above the five-year average and above the average margin in the market. The net financial debt at the end of the first quarter of 2020 increased to 699 million euro, after 671 million euro at the end of 2019. This increase was expected and is related to the CapEx spending for our growth projects, especially the new paper machine, CM3. The higher net financial debt and the lower last 12 months EBITDA increased the net leverage to 3.3. For comparison, the net leverage was 3.0 at the end of the fourth quarter of 2019. As you can see from this strong financial performance, the impact of the corona pandemic on our first quarter results was rather small. On the next page, we have the market development in the first quarter, which was driven by a strong corrugated board demand. In the first 2 months, the demand was driven by robust economic development. The continuing good demand in March was probably supported by excess demand in certain industries and also by increasing stock levels as a preparation for the uncertain future development. The demand in the first weeks of the second quarter was more impacted by the lockdowns in most countries and many industries. A compensating effect comes from the continuing strong demand for packaging in the food industry, pharmaceuticals, and drugstores. The increase in e-commerce business in the last week also supported demand for corrugated boxes. To summarize demand in the first weeks of the second quarter, we had a reduction in sales volume of corrugated board compared to the second quarter of 2019. With a reduction of approximately 10%, the drop was, however, not as dramatic as you might have read from other industries. The corona crisis supported the existing mega trend of an increasing share of e-commerce, but also the general trend for substitution of plastic-based packaging by paper-based packaging and the increasing consumption of ready meals or convenience food are supporting the demand for corrugated board. As in the previous quarters, we saw again price reductions for our products. However, the strong demand led to only a moderate rate of -3% for corrugated board and -5% for container board compared to the average price levels of the fourth quarter of 2019. The comparably moderate increase of stock levels of container board at the year end and the robust demand for container board at the beginning of this year led to price increases for recycled container board in March in many countries. The prices for our raw material recycled paper dropped significantly by 38% in the first quarter due to the structural oversupply situation. This price reduction compensated the reduction of our sales prices. As a consequence of the lockdown in nearly all European countries, the supply of recycled paper dropped at the beginning of the second quarter. This temporary shortage of recycled paper led to a significant rebound of the recycled paper prices that had been under downward pressure for many months. Therefore, the recycled paper prices in the second quarter will be above the first quarter prices. To continue on page 8, the total container board sales volume increased by 4.1% to 278,000 tons in the first quarter of 2020 compared to the fourth quarter last year. The higher sales volume was driven by a strong internal and external demand and was supported by strong production volume and the decrease of our stock levels of container board. The integration level reached a high level of 83% without a swap volume or 94% if you include the swap volume. Compared to the sales volume of container board in the first quarter of 2019, we achieved a considerable increase of 7.4%. On page 9, you can see the strong corrugated board volume development. The sales volume of corrugated board in the first quarter of 2020 was 46,000 tons higher compared to the first quarter of 2019. This represents a growth rate of 14.9%, which is significantly above market growth. On a quarterly basis, the first quarter sales volume was 45,000 tons higher than the fourth quarter sales volume. This represents an increase of 14.6%. This strong volume growth was especially supported by our growth project. The growth rate versus the prior year's first quarter in Italy and the UK exceeded 40%, but also all established plants increased the sales volume versus the first quarter of 2019. On page 10, you can see the quarterly and cumulative sales development. Sales declined by approximately 12.5 million euro, or 5.1% in the first quarter of 2020 compared to the first quarter of 2019. The higher sales volume of corrugated board and external sales volume of container board mitigated the effect from the lower sales prices. With sales of almost 233 million euro, the sales of the past three quarters could be exceeded. On page 11, we have the sales bridge from the first quarter of 2019 to the first quarter of 2020. The volume effect of 38 million euro reflects the increase in corrugated board sales volume by 46,000 tons and an increase of the external container board sales volume by 12,000 tons. The price effect of minus 49 million euro is based on approximately 17% lower average sales prices for corrugated board and 28% lower sales prices for container board compared to the first quarter of 2019. Total sales declined by approximately 5.1% in the first quarter of 2020 versus the same quarter of 2019. On page 12, we present the sales bridge from the fourth quarter of 2019 to the first quarter of 2020. The first quarter sales were 13% higher than the fourth quarter sales of last year. The corrugated board sales volume increased by 45,000 tons and the external sales volume of container board increased by 15,000 tons. This led to a volume effect of plus 32.6 million euro. The price effect of minus 6.9 million euro is the result of approximately 3% lower average corrugated board prices and 5% lower average containerboard prices. We continue on page 13 with the quarterly EBITDA and EBITDA margin development. In the first quarter of 2020, we achieved an EBITDA of 57.8 million euro after 59.9 million euro EBITDA in the fourth quarter and 41.8 million euro in the third quarter of 2019. This is the result of our continuing strong operating performance despite the lower sales mentioned before. Please bear in mind that the fourth quarter was impacted by certain energy-related refunds that supported our fourth quarter results. Compared to the prior year, with still very favorable market conditions, our margins have normalized in the course of 2019. Therefore, the lower EBITDA is within our expectation. The EBITDA margin reached 24.8% in the first quarter, which is below the structurally higher EBITDA margin of the fourth quarter, but almost on the level of the full year 2019. On page 14, you can see the long-term EBITDA margin development on a quarterly basis. The EBITDA margin in the first quarter of 24.8% was again above the five-year average of 24.1%. This very good result should be seen in the context of the overall economic situations in most European countries that were already impacted by the corona pandemic in the first quarter. To summarize this page, I want to emphasize that we delivered a very stable operating performance in the long run. With this margin, we continue to stay at the upper end of the industry range. Also, we want to point out that the impact of the corona pandemic on our Q2 results will be stronger than the impact of the first quarter results. The free cash flow development on page 15 shows an increase in the first quarter of 2020 compared to the first quarter of 2019 and compared to the free cash flow of the fourth quarter of 2019. The operating cash flow was 42 million euro in the first quarter of 2020. This represents an increase of approximately 10 million euro compared to the operating cash flow of the first quarter of 2019. The cash outflow from investing activities decreased to approximately 66 million euro, which was especially related to CapEx spending for our strategic project PM3. This development is within our expectations. Is directly linked to our long-term and successful greenfield strategy. The cash outflow for investing activity was covered to a significant amount by the operating cash flow. However, the resulting free cash flow was negative with minus 24 million euro, which is well within our expectations. On page 16, we have the EBITDA to free cash flow waterfall for the first quarter of 2020. The EBITDA was 57.8 million euro. The current provisions decreased by 3.8 million euro. Trade working capital increased by 5 million euro. And the cash flows from changes in other assets and liabilities were almost balanced with an impact of minus 0.6 million euro. We paid income taxes in an amount of 7.2 million euro. And the most important element of the waterfall were the 66.1 million euro of CapEx spending for our value-creating growth project. As a result, the free cash flow for the first 3 months of 2020 amounted to minus 24 million euro. On page 17, you can see the development of the net financial debt and net leverage of Pro Group. In the first quarter of 2020, the net financial debt figure increased by 28.5 million euro. The increase was driven by a negative free cash flow and resulted in a decrease of cash on hand and bank balances. The increase in net financial debt and the decrease of the last 12 months EBITDA increased the net leverage from 3 at the year end 2019 to 3.3 at the end of the first quarter of 2020. The net leverage is therefore slightly above our long-term net leverage target corridor of 2.5 to 3. As communicated before, we expected to temporarily leave the net leverage target corridor. This direct development is directly linked to the CapEx spending for our value-accretive expansion projects. Once these strategic expansion projects are ramped up, they will contribute to the intended deleveraging in the midterm. We also want to point out that we are fully committed to our long-term net leverage target corridor and we plan to achieve this goal in the midterm. The next page gives a deeper view on the financial debt and finance costs. Compared to 31st December 2019, the financial gross debt decreased slightly, mainly due to the scheduled repayments and due to translation effects following the weaker pound and Polish zloty exchange rate. The amount of undrawn committed bank facilities remained unchanged at 155 million euros in the first quarter of 2020. Included in this figure are CapEx facilities in an amount of 105 million euros and 50 million euros are related to the revolving credit facility. The majority of 88% of the financial liabilities at the 31st of March were denominated in euro, 9% in British pound and 3% in Polish zloty. Approximately 91% of the financial debt has fixed interest rates and 9% has variable interest rates. The average interest rate in the first quarter of 2020 was 3.2% versus 3.1% in the prior year's first quarter. These figures also include commitment fees for undrawn facilities. On page 19, we show the quarterly development of working capital. As of 31st of March 2020, the working capital was significantly below the level as of the 31st of March of 2019. The decrease amounted to 43.3 million euros. Lower inventories of approximately 14.1 million euros, 10.3 million euros lower accounts receivables, and 18.1 million euros higher trade payables contributed to the decrease of the working capital. Compared to the fourth quarter of 2019, the amount of working capital increased by 5 million euros due to the lower inventories in an amount of 7 million euros and higher trade payables of 11.6 million euros, which were more than compensated by an increase of 23.7 million euros in trade receivables. The increase in trade receivables is based on the relatively low level of trade receivables at the year end due to lower sales in December. The working capital as a percentage of sales showed a small increase to 16% after 15% at the end of the third and fourth quarter of 2019. On page 21, we present the summary and outlook. We delivered again a very good operating performance in the first quarter of 2020. As expected, we experienced a continuing normalization of sales prices for corrugated board. Due to the price increase for container board in March 2020, we intend to increase our corrugated board prices in the second quarter. However, the current market conditions make it more difficult than usual to pass on the price increases to our customers. The temporary undersupply in situation for recycled paper will lead to significantly higher prices in the second quarter of 2020. However, we expect that this will be only a temporary price hike, as the structural oversupply situation in Europe will not change fundamentally once the lockdown measures are fully released. As a consequence of these price developments, we expect that our gross margin will show a reduction in the second quarter due to the higher raw material prices. Our newest corrugated board project, PW13 in Germany, started with the commercial production in the first quarter of 2020. This plant is now in the ramp-up phase and started in the second quarter of 2020 already with the third shift. The paper machine project PM3 is progressing according to plan. The planned startup of the PM3 is scheduled for August 2020. On the upper picture of the right-hand side, you can see the progress of the PM3 project. On the lower picture, you can see the brand new PW13 corrugated board plant. Due to the uncertainties of the corona pandemic, we decided to interrupt the further preparation of the PW14 project for the time being. Depending on the development of the overall economic situation and the impact of the corona crisis on our business, we will decide when we continue with this project. At this point, on our last quarterly call, we gave an outlook for the full year 2020 under the assumption that the coronavirus would not have a major impact on the European economy. Unfortunately, this assumption did not realize. Therefore, we would like to give a deeper view on the impact of the corona crisis on ProGroup's operation. The coronavirus had severe impacts on our operation. First of all, it impacted our people. For us, the well-being of our employees has the highest priority. Therefore, we took many precautionary measures to protect them, but also to find ways to continue with our business operation. The impact on our sales volume in the first quarter was relatively low. However, in the second quarter, we also expect lower sales volume. In the first half of the second quarter, the sales volume of corrugated board was approximately 10% below prior year sales volume. At the beginning of the crisis, it was a challenge to maintain all relevant logistic chains. This situation improved in the course of the second quarter. Currently, we have no major issues with our supply chain and the transportation of goods to our customers. The supply of our plants have also been stressed at the beginning due to the limitation in available transportation capacities in certain areas. However, we have been able to keep up the full supply for all our plants so far. The current changes in the recycled paper market led to a temporary shortage of recycled paper in the market. However, our paper mills have had enough raw material to run at full capacity. For the next week, we expect an increase in the supply of recycled paper and already lower market prices for June. All our plants have continued to operate. Most corrugated board plants run currently with the planned capacity after temporary capacity adoptions, especially in April. Both paper mills and the power plant have been running at full capacity. We are now at the end of our presentation and we will be happy to answer any questions you may have on this performance.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to register a question on today's call, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypads. The first question on the phone lines comes from Marcus Schmidt from ODDO. Marcus, your line is now open.
Yeah, thanks for taking the questions. The first question is on the volumes again. Could you please explain the high volume growth in the quarter? Again, because it seems you purchased more container board externally. My question is why it's obviously economically more favorable for you to sell about 46,000 tons to your swap partners. And at the same time, you obviously purchased so much container board externally. Was there a specific reason for this in the quarter? Because the way I understand it is that your container board sales volume totaled 278,000 tons and you used 32 internally and 46 externally. But you sold 353 corrugated board, so there's quite a big difference. And that inventory effect of 10.5 million in the P&L brings me to about 25,000 tons when I calculated it right. So it makes not up the difference for me, apart from kraft and other components you purchase externally. But the difference is still quite big, so maybe you could explain this.
Yeah, I mean we always sell we always sold container board externally. There's several reasons. For one, the swap agreements, they make economic sense because of course we could supply most of the paper internally, but we have our two paper mills located in Eastern Germany, and not all our plants are located in a very short distance to the not all our corrugated board plants are located very closely to the container board mills. So, for example, a swap relating to the transportation difference distance makes sense if we supply our own operations only these who are located close to the mills, and we supply external customers when we receive the same goods from their mills, which are located closer to our corrugate board operation. So in this case, we sell container board and purchase container board in the same grade and in the same amount. It sometimes also makes sense to swap if we have a different working width. For example, we run the or the container board mills have a given working width, and not all types of corrugated operation fits perfectly on the size of the container board mill. So it sometimes makes sense to purchase the same good, but in the working other working width externally and sell the same product, but with a different width to the market. So this can also make sense to optimize the spread in the production process. And the third possible swap is that you swap different types of paper. For example, we have super lightweight grades, which the Team 2 is specialized for. We can sell them for other producers who require super lightweight grades, and we, for example, purchase other grades which we need in our corrugate board operations we can't produce by our own. So there are different types of swaps which make sense even if we are purchasing external container board and have the same capacity internally.
Okay, but there was also an event in the market that you, because your volume growth is actually quite impressive, where you could, or where you took a comfort from, or where you benefited from. There was nothing special that created that high volume sale.
No. I think that the increase in the volume was nothing exceptional.
Okay. Good. Thanks for this. And then a question on your plans. Could you indicate the utilization rate of the two new plants, PW11 and 12, and for the old plants? And since you said that you would stop working on PW14 for now, how does this impact the CapEx guidance for 20 and 21?
I mean, in the first quarter, we had a quite high capacity utilization, but this is on the corrugated side not a definite figure which we can never increase. I mean, we are working every day to improve the runability of our corrugator. So, of course, we want to have a very high capacity utilization of 95% or so. But a new plant like the PW13 or also PW11 and 12, they have still technical reserves which will be lifted in the future and has to increase the capacity. So at the moment, we are running them at 90%, but these 90% can be increased in the future if the plant increases the runability, and if the team of the plant that runs the plant gets more experience, they can run faster. So the capacity next year of the same plant without any additional capex is probably much higher, and especially with the new corrugators, we have much bigger steps at the beginning, but also a 20-year-old plant, it's always our ambition to increase the productivity of such a corrugator, so we also expect for the older assets that the productivity gain will be at least a 2% or so per year, because there's always something you can improve, and we are working hard to increase the capacity for all of our assets.
And even we can add on a fourth shift in some of the plants without any capex to increase the capacity.
Okay. And in terms of CapEx, because you said you will idle the PW14 project, is there what is the guidance for 20 and 21?
So the impact on 2020, so if you assume not to start with the project this year with PW14, so this reduces the CapEx for this year by, say, 20 million. For the majority of our CapEx we plan for 2020 is related to the PM3, which continues as we anticipated and planned. So,
that brings me to 260 for 20, is that the assumption?
In this area, exactly. And the 2021 depends on whether we decide to continue with PW14 or at what time will we continue. I mean, this depends on the market development and the other options. I mean, as we just said before, we have always the options to work on our existing assets in additional shifts, and this is CapEx neutral, so we can increase capacity without spending additional money, and this is always an option if we in times where we don't want to add too much CapEx due to the overall economic situation.
Okay, and for next year, is there anything committed yet? I think last time we spoke about 50, 60 million, if I recall that correctly.
I mean, this would be the amount which was related to the PW14, but this is not, this is not committed in the case that we can't stop it.
Okay.
At the moment, we have put this on hold. In the current situation, we might have some monies which are related to PM3, which we might not spend at the end of 2020, which will then be CapEx of 2021. But at the moment, we have no major other projects committed for next year. So if it's necessary, we can reduce CapEx significantly to very low levels if it's required. But at the moment, it's too early, and the future is too uncertain to give a real good guidance for the CapEx of 2021.
Okay, and finally, just quickly, because you mentioned it in the presentation, in terms of raw materials, that the current paper price will likely rise in Q2 or are rising already. What will be approximately the EBITDA effect in Q2? Do you expect that the recovered paper price will normalize in June and collection rates will likely increase, and then to what level? And the question is also if you believe that in the remaining year recovered paper prices could fall back to the old Q1 level, which was actually very low. So maybe you have a few, so in terms of EBITDA impact and how recovered paper prices will be trending in the remaining year.
I mean, from the lowest in March until, say, the highest prices we have seen so far in May, depending on which grade we are talking about, our recycled paper cost decreased by 50 to 70 euro per ton. But this is not the average increase for the second quarter. I mean, it depends on how quickly we can reduce the recycled paper prices. It's still too early to give a view on June, because there will be, of course, discussions, but the structural oversupply situation, this makes us confident that we can reduce the recycled paper prices significantly in the next month. The structural oversupply is still there, and the question is how quickly can we will be the supply side be the same as it was in the first month. So this is the question I can't answer for sure for now, but of course there will be an impact on the second quarter. But if you...
Okay, and when you mentioned the grade...
Calculate and say, okay, what is the amount of recycled paper, and assume the volumes we have normally in a quarter, you come to an EBITDA effect.
Okay, and just to follow up, The grade you mentioned, is that the 1.04 you orientate yourself on? Is that a fine measure for your covered paper pricing?
Yeah, we have mixed grades and old corrugate containers. These are the main grades we are talking in our system. So 102 and 104.
Okay, I see. Great. Then many thanks for your time today.
The next question on the phone lines comes from Saul Casadio from M&G. Saul, your line is now open.
Hello, thanks for taking my question. I just have two quick ones. One is on your trading update on for Q2 for the first half, the 10% volume drop you indicated. I was wondering whether you could split that between April and I guess the first couple of weeks of May.
I mean, this is it's different in various markets. I mean, we have quite strong German market. The German market itself grew in April for the entire industry. I mean, we grew a little bit stronger than that. And then May itself, it's difficult to compare to last year because last year we had a different number of working days. And so it's not... I would say it's not a real fair comparison. And you have the other effect in markets like Italy, but also Eastern European markets, they have been really severely hit in April, and now they show signs of recovery from a much lower basis. So it's more mixed effect, so that if you add all together, the minus 10% is not so different in both months. If you look more on a daily basis, if you neutralize the different numbers working days.
And what you can see is the industry structure behind. If you have a lot of food and beverage industry, or in some countries you have, like in Eastern Europe, we have furniture industry and automotive industry. The markets are very, very different in their development, but Germany indeed is a quite stable market, even in April and May.
Okay. And do you see signs of improvement from that minus 10%, or do you think that's probably where, based on what you know now, this is where we're going to land in terms of volumes in Q2?
There's a recovery in Middle Eastern Europe, and especially after coming back to a more or less normal run in Italy and France. So we see recovery tendencies.
Okay. And my last question is on your container board position, which I assume it's on a net basis short at the moment. Could you give us a sense of kind of the net purchases in of container board in the market?
I mean, if you take the entire, can look at our figures in the presentation, I mean, we need approximately 6% or so more container board than the output in corrugated. So if we have 350,000 tons of corrugated board, you can add 6% on that, and then you have the requirement for container board, and you have a production volume of, say, 260, maybe 265,000 tons. So this is the difference between what we need on container board and what we produce by our own. However, if you also have certain grades which we can't produce by our own, like all types of fresh fiber based papers and also white paper. So we in these container board grades we are fully depend on external suppliers. The recycled grades we can theoretically produce them by our own. And with the upcoming PM3, of course, we have enough capacity to fully supply our own operations with recycled paper and with recycled container board, and also have additional capacity to do all the maybe all the additional swap to secure the supply with other grades, and a certain amount will be sold to the market as well.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you. Thank you very much.
The next question on the phone lines comes from Luigi Algisi from Wells Fargo. Luigi, your line's now open.
Good afternoon. Thanks for the presentation. Just a quick follow-up on the CapEx question. Can you just remind us what level of CapEx, of maintenance CapEx, shall we expect for next year?
I mean, we have very new assets and very new asset base. So if it's required, we can reduce the maintenance CapEx to a level of, say, about 15 million euro. If we have a normal economic development, we normally do a little bit more than that, but we can go as deep as I just said.
Okay, thanks.
The next question on the phone lines comes from Salih Ishtiak from Citi. Salih, your line is now open.
Yes, thank you very much for the presentation and for taking my questions. I had two questions. The first question was, we're seeing that a lot of businesses are beginning to delay payments to their suppliers. Are you seeing this impacting you as a supplier? So as in your receivable days are getting longer, and do you expect further deterioration of your receivable balances because you may have businesses that are not able to pay you back? And on the other side, are you able to manage your inventory days and your supplier days to try to improve the working capital balance for yourself?
I mean, the payments at the beginning of this lockdown, we had more discussions on that, but overall, we didn't see significant changes in on both sides, not from the supplier and not from our customers. And of course, we had our treasury department had more to do and more discussions with our customers, but given the current situation, what you might expect, we are very, I would say, fairly stable in this development. And in terms of inventory days, I mean, the inventory is depending on basically on how is the supply. As we said before, supply of raw material was rather difficult, especially in April, due to the lower availability of recycled paper. This is improving now in May, more towards a normal situation. And on the finished goods side, as we just said, we are short of container board, so there is no need for on the. We have enough internal demand that there is no excessive increase of finished goods.
So just as a follow up to that, the increased volumes that you saw in Q1. Do you think that that was a result of real demand, or do you think that your customers were stocking up because prices were so low for your product, and that eventually what we may see going forward is a reduced demand because people have already stocked up a lot of inventory?
Our business is not it's not possible to have a huge amount of stock of corrugated sheet because it's just too you don't have the space to do so. Of course, some customers did at the beginning of the lockdown increase their demand, but this is we are talking about a couple of days of inventory. Our business is just in time business basically, because it's for most end applications a C product, so you don't want to have a huge amount of boxes or packaging material. If you are selling a good, so you need a certain level, and you may have increased a little bit one or two days because of the uncertainties, but this is not something really significant for the midterm.
Understood. And how much CapEx is left for the the PM3 project in Germany?
So for the for this year, we had all CapEx spending together given indication of 280 to 300 million. If you now deduct the 20 million I mentioned before, for the PW14 project we have put on hold, this is the full CapEx, but this also includes the remaining CapEx for PW13 and the maintenance CapEx and a smaller project. And we have spent from this to 62 to 18 now 66 million euro in the first quarter. So the remaining CapEx is between 195 and then 215 for the remaining three quarters.
Understood. And just my final question, in terms of your liquidity through this crisis, obviously your cash position is lower than Q4. And I believe you said that you have still undrawn your RCF. Do you foresee requiring additional liquidity through the German KfW program? Are you exploring that at all, or do you think that you should be able to be fine for the rest of the year, just based on kind of the cash flows generated from the business?
I mean, the lower cash we had at the end of the first quarter was anticipated. Normally, we don't need cash in an amount of more than 100 million. We can run the business with 15 million, 20 million euro cash on hand. We had huge cash balances in the past because we know we want to do the PM3 project, and we had to draw the facilities in the course of 2019. So we started with a huge cash balance, but this was designated cash, especially to the PM3 project. So this is normal that the cash balance will be reduced, and it is also continuing to be reduced in the next quarter. Of course, we considered, like I think every or most German companies, the current KfW program. I mean, every company, I would say, is impacted by the coronavirus. They opened the access to liquidity. So of course, it's reasonable to assume and check whether we can use it. But at the moment, we haven't signed any contract or haven't got any approval for that. We are still in the phase of evaluating. And at that time, we are getting we're moving on. We are now, I think we are now through the most significant part of the medical crisis, and now we will see what happens on the economy. So we have, like you, we don't have a crystal ball. We don't know what happens in the second half or next year. So I think it's prudent to be prepared and what the future may bring. So in this sense, we are evaluating all possible state aid opportunities.
Understood. And sorry, just one final question. I think a number of your facilities are maturing in 2021, including your RCF. Have you started the conversation about potentially extending or refinancing those?
The RCF is expiring later. It's not in 2021.
Okay.
So we have enough time, so we haven't started yet.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Yeah.
Sorry, you were saying?
And the remaining maturities, these are normal repayments, but nothing exceptionally high in 2020 or 21.
Understood. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from John Pace from Stone Harbor Investment Partners. John, your line is now open.
Hi. Yes, thank you for taking my question. Most of them have been answered. Just one I have is how much was outstanding on your factoring facility at the end of the first quarter, please?
We have no factoring of only for banking, and we haven't used it.
Okay, so it's undrawn. What's the availability on that if you wanted to use it?
We increased the capacity in the last month to 25 million.
25 million is what you could draw today if you wanted to use the facility then.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We have a follow-up question from Marcus Schmidt. Marcus, your line is now open.
Yeah, thanks. Just one question for me. You said before that to fulfill your corrugated board sales of 350, you said you need 6% more of container board capacity. When I understood this correct, I think that cannot be. Maybe you can explain this again.
And it was hard to understand the question. Could you please repeat it?
I'm sorry. There was an earlier question in terms of net container board purchases, and you explained that to become 100% able to fulfill your corrugated board sales of 350,000 tons, that is the easy number you mentioned, you need to increase your container board capacity by 6%. That is what I understood, but I think I'm wrong here.
No, the 6% are scrap. So we have to input. The input is 106% of the output. So we have the production of 1 ton of, or the 100 tons of corrugated board, we use 106 tons of container board.
Ah, okay. I see. Okay, great. That is it for me. Thank you very much.
It would appear that we have no further questions being registered, so I'll now hand back to the speakers.
So then thank you very much for your participation on our Q1 call in this interesting time. We are looking forward to talk to you on the second quarter calls in 3 months' time. Hopefully with good news on the second quarter. We will work hard on that. For the time being, stay healthy, and we're looking forward to hearing you the next time.
Yeah, thank you very much all together, and hope to speak to you in healthy conditions next time. Thank you.